we are picking up in Ruth chapter 4 today, and to turn your Bibles. If you brought a Bible, if you have a Bible app, didn't bring a Bible or app, you can download a Bible app probably really fast, and you might even beat the people there that are turning their pages. So, we're going to be finishing up a series today called The Truth of Ruth. We've been going through the story of Ruth, this Moabite woman who was, she's kind of a pagan person. She's not just this person who's grown up in the church. She's grown up in a completely different religion. And through all kinds of crazy circumstances, God has pulled her into his people. And if you want to follow that story of how she became part of the family of God, a part of the people of God, you can just read this little book of Ruth. It's very short. It's only 4 chapters long. And if you know anything about Bible chapters, that means it's about 4 pages long. So it's an easy book to read. Or if you want to take a lot longer, you can go listen to the last 4 sessions that we did. And they're like 45 minutes each. So you can read the whole book in less than that. So that's what we've been doing. Hopefully in an interesting kind of way. Before I totally dive into this, I want to remind you, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And for those of you listening, we've got more of our people not here today than are here. So if you're listening to the podcast, next Sunday is Easter and you should be here. We have Easter invitations. And what we put together, I did just before we moved here, I did a little 4-song EP with not just some of the band from Missoula, but just some of my good friends that were excellent musicians. And we did this little 4-song EP called Kingdom of God. Normally we sell it for $5, but for Easter, they're free. And Spokane and where Easter, if you have friends that you would love to invite, here's your invitation. And if they come or they don't come, they still get a little gift from us. So take some of those, they're sitting in the back, and give them to your friends. So we want to make sure people know they can come. We'll have our real signage out next week too. That's been ordered and being made, and so there'll actually be signs people can find us. We're not going to be underground in secret anymore. Let's get into this. Ruth chapter 4 says this. Now Boaz had gone up. I'll just back this up, a little backstory. The reason he's gone to the gate of the city is this is where business deals are done. This is where people need to strike agreements. They would go to the gate of the city where there were the elders of the city would be there. And they would do their business transactions. Boaz happens to be doing more transactions. He is trying to secure the okay to marry Ruth, the Moabitess. So he's going to the gate, and he sat down there. And behold, a redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. This man had rights, different culture. He had the rights to marry Ruth. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. And then he said to the redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech." Elimelech is Naomi's late husband. "So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know. For there's no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." And then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." And then the redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the manner of attesting in Israel. "To Boaz, buy it for yourself." He drew off his sandal, and then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion, to Mahlon." Those were Elimelech's sons who had also died. Also, Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. I'm not going to say salmon, even though we would say salmon. That just sounds too weird. Like a fish. So Salmon fathered Boaz, and Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David. So what you see at the end of this story of Ruth, you find out that Ruth is actually the great-grandmother of the king, which is a big reason why this story is included in Scripture. It really sets up Jesus who comes later as the son of David. It sets up Jesus who comes later as a redeemer to redeem his people. And that this is fantastic in setting up how God loves to redeem people from other nations and draw them to himself. God loves to draw the most unlikely people, the people you would say, those guys will never be a part of the kingdom of God. Those guys would never be Christians. Those guys would never do that. Well, that's what this is, to demonstrate how God draws people to himself. As we wrap this series, we're going to look at this Redeemer. Boaz, in this story, Boaz becomes the Redeemer, the one who purchases and buys back this family and kind of sets them free into life again. But really, about another Redeemer, and this is really about Jesus. We've been redeemed from death, life. And now look at this at the beginning of this story, where Boaz sits down with this other Redeemer, we're never given his name, this other man who could have redeemed the land, taken Ruth as his wife to be sure that she could have children and the family of her late husband would not come to an end. This other Redeemer could have, by law, hired him. If he refused to do it, what was supposed to happen was the lady herself was supposed to take off the sandal and slap him with it. Like, basically, you dog, you... You won't even provide for your family. They've obviously made the custom officer by the time we read this story. But this other Redeemer, this other man who had rights to Ruth and rights to their property, by law, he needed to redeem her. By law, he needed to do this. But what he says is, I can't. I can't do this. It's not just, maybe I'll think about it. He says, I can't do this. It would mess up my own inheritance. This speaks very much to the law's ability to bring life to you. When you try to live your life based on just the laws of God, 10 commandments, you know, we've got 10 elders that come to witness this. And these 10 elders witness that this Redeemer cannot redeem Ruth. And he cannot risk his own inheritance. He cannot do this. It's kind of like the 10 commandments actually bear witness that we really can't fulfill them completely. They can't really bring life to us. You could try to fulfill all of the Ten Commandments. And even if you did, the Bible says, if there had been a law that could give life, then righteousness would have come by the law, which would Jesus wouldn't have needed to come. So you could fulfill us perfectly and still not have life, because the law can't bring you life. But it's through Christ, guys, we are set free from the power of the law. Just as Boaz, actually, he redeemed Ruth. He redeemed her by fulfilling the law. We're set free from the power of the law and into this new law, the law of love. Romans 13:10 says this, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Do you hear that? Love is the fulfilling of the law. When you actually are loving someone, meaning you're thinking of their interests before your own, you're thinking of their well-being before your own, you're thinking of how is my actions toward them actually setting them up for success in life and with God? How's the way I'm treating them steering them to Jesus? When you're loving them like that, you're actually fulfilling the law. It's very cool. Now, Boaz had to walk through some steps to redeem this gal, to redeem Ruth. He couldn't just say, yeah, I'll marry you, because it wasn't his right to do that. He had to walk through some steps. He had to go to the city gate. He had to make sure he walked through all the right customs, all the right cultures, so he could have the right to redeem Ruth. This is exactly what Jesus did. He came, and he had to fulfill the law completely. He had to fulfill all these righteous requirements of the law so that through the law, he could redeem us from the law and into this new law of love. We've been redeemed by Christ from the Bible calls the law a schoolmaster or a schoolteacher that points us and leads us to Jesus. But we've now been redeemed from the law to this Lord of love, Jesus. It's very cool. Boaz did not have to marry Ruth. He wanted to. Guys, you don't have to be united to Christ. You don't have to do this. But when you are, you find this. Who is this? We're going to get to this. I'm getting ahead of myself. Who is this Redeemer? Who is this amazing Redeemer? We find it's not a have to, it's a get to. Boaz wanted relationship with Ruth. Ruth wanted relationship with Boaz. She wanted it. Now, I gotta be careful when I'm saying you're set free from have to get to. We sang about it in the first song today. I'm not suggesting that there's other ways to God besides Jesus. Oh, I don't have to go through Jesus. There's other ways. I can get there other ways. I'm not saying that at all. The scripture's pretty clear. There aren't. And I can't kind of sugarcoat that. There just aren't. Jesus is the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So if you want to go to heaven, you actually do have to come through Jesus. By the end of this today, I think there will be more than a have to. There will be a get to. Second point. Guys, we are redeemed from self-service to selfless service. Boaz, even though Boaz is the redeemer in this story, Boaz himself actually needs a redeemer. He needs to be redeemed, just like every one of us needs a redeemer. And though Boaz agrees to perpetuate the name of the dead, that the name of the dead may not be cut off, meaning Ruth's late husband, so that her late husband's family name will carry on, though he agrees to perpetuate the name of the dead, it's actually his name that's honored in this story. And his name at the very end of this genealogy, it's his name that God exalts. God chooses to raise him up and honor him. There's a big kingdom principle here. When you come to serve others, versus serving yourself. This principle from Jesus, if you want to be great, be the servant of all. That's Mark 9:35, if you want to look that up. If you want to be great, be the servant of all. Boaz came to serve Naomi. That's Ruth's mother. He came to serve Ruth, who's going to be his wife. And in doing so, God honors him. God raises him up. We have this, he's like the hero of this story. It's very cool. God's going to take care of you guys. Think about whatever situation you're in. Whatever you're walking through in life. Yes, Gonzaga Bulldogs lost. It's devastating. It's terrible. God's going to take care of you. It's okay. The men and the women, Lady Grizz, the Grizz were especially embarrassing this week. They just got destroyed on national television, which is always really great. Good to have your team publicly shamed. It's good for our egos. God's got us. God's going to take care of us. And whatever your situation is, I know, like we were talking earlier, Whitworth Pirates, they lost too. And it's just going to keep happening, it sounds like, a little bit this year. Sorry, Nathan. When you find yourself in like, this is awful. I need to do something to fix this. I need to make sure that I'm watching my own back in this. You know, have you seen a team when a team starts to fall apart? And the way they can start to turn on each other, and they'll start to dig into each other, and they'll start to just kind of, it's like this, as each one starts to worry more about themselves than everyone else, and rather than building up everyone else, it's kind of like, what are you doing? You're making us all look bad. When that starts to happen in a team, implosion is happening. Boom, boom. It's like a coach's worst nightmare. But you flip that. If you want to be great, says Jesus, be the servant of all. And he's the one who's going to guard you. He's the one who's going to watch your back. When Boaz came, and rather than saying, I've got all this land, he's actually a pretty wealthy guy, he's an esteemed guy in the community, and this outcast comes to him and says, will you marry me? Will you take on my family name? Like, will you take us and be sure that we don't just kind of end? He could have said, no, this really is not in my best interest. I risk a lot in the community by even hanging out with you. Rather than being self-serving, he turns to this selfless service, and God exalts him. Charles Stanley says this about this and what happened. He says, oh, what a day of gladness for poor Ruth. What a perfect work did Boaz finish for her that day. What a complete change for her. What perfect rest. No longer the poor, sorrowing, outcast Moabitess. No more gleaning and beating in the fields. No more coming and going. No more enjoying blessing with Boaz 1 hour, away from him, desolate the next hour. The stranger gleaner is now one with him forever. The two have become one, to part no more. And what happens in this? When Boaz turns, he says, I'm going to serve your family. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to take care of you, even though it may not be in my own best interest. What happens? Ruth comes alive. Ruth is set free. And so is Boaz. They find this great marriage. Even the mother-in-law is happy about it. That's saying something. Thirdly, as we are redeemed from why to who? We're redeemed from why to who? Now this brings us back to Naomi in this story. We haven't talked about Naomi much today. Naomi has gone through so much stuff in her life. She has been through it. She's been through famine. She's had to leave as a refugee, go to a foreign land. She's then lost her husband, Then she's lost one son and then another son. Her two daughters-in-law that her sons have married are now dependent on her. One of them goes home to her own family, and she and Ruth come back to her original homeland as just kind of desolate wanderers trying to come home. Naomi has gone through much. Ruth has gone through much. They've gone through loss. We said a few weeks ago, this is kind of like the story of Job, where everything that can go wrong does go wrong. But in the middle of it, we have the benefit of kind of reading the story afterward. You see God's hand at work, bringing in nations into His covenant family. But we don't get all the wise answers. You get to the end of this short book and this story, you don't get the big payoff. This is why this happened. This is why Elimelech died and Naomi was left as a widow. This is why Ruth's husband died. This is why the other sister-in-law, Orpah, this is why her husband died. This is why there was famine in the land. We don't get the big payoff. And don't tell me, as an American, you don't love to watch the movies with the nice happy ending all wrapped up at the end. It's one reason, bringing it back to sports again. At least we all know Gonzaga lost. There's no question about it. We all know the Grizz lost. We all know, you all do now. Maybe you didn't know before. You do now. We all know they lost, and there's always next year. If you go over to the UK or Australia, some other nations in the United, used to be like the British Empire, and they have this game called cricket. I don't know if you've ever watched cricket. I rarely have watched cricket because it can go on for a day or 2 days or 3 days and no one wins. There's no payoff. It just keeps going and going and going, and then you have a tie. Are you kidding me? Like, I want to watch the game. I want to be able to, here it is. Someone won, someone lost, and then we can all listen to the commentators say why. Why did they lose? Why did they win? And they make up great things to say about why it happened. So, in the end of this story, it's sort of like cricket. In that we get to the end, and yes, Boaz and Ruth are married. They have a son. His name is Obed. His grandmother, Naomi, is like, she's happy again. That's good. But we never get the payoff. God, why did you allow this to happen? Why? Is one of the worst questions we can ask. Why? My kids, they want to know why. They still want to know why. I had an incident yesterday where we're having it. This is what I want you to do. This is what I need you to do. Actually, we had another one this morning, as I think about it. And this is what needs to happen. But why? Right now, I just need you to obey and do what I'm asking you to do. Let's not argue about it. She needed a why. She needed an answer to the why. But something happens to us when we come to Jesus. When we've been redeemed. And I should go back and define this word. We redeemed last night. Beck and I redeemed a Groupon that we had picked up a few months ago to the Garland Theater. And it, normally you buy your tickets and you go in and you pay stupid amounts for popcorn and pop and all that. Well, it was $7 for two movie tickets and popcorn. This is great. So I printed this thing off. We go in and we redeemed it. What that means, I go in and it says right on this thing that if I give them this ticket, I get two movie tickets and popcorn. And I can carry it around. But until I go and redeem it, I don't have it. But I went in and we gave them the thing, and amazingly, they gave us two movie tickets and free popcorn. It was great. We still have to pay $5 for a drink, but oh well. This is what happens when we are redeemed. It's God Himself coming in and saying, I am going to buy you back. I am going to pay the price so that you can be mine. Boaz went and he paid a price so that Ruth could be his. So that Ruth could be his wife. He went in, paid some significant, it doesn't tell us how much, but he had to buy the family land and he had to take Ruth as his wife along with the deal. Jesus does this, and he comes, when he went to the cross, what he was doing for us, you guys, he was buying us back. He was buying us back from the power of sin and death. He actually paid, by fulfilling the law, he paid the price for all of the law that we have not fulfilled, that you have not fulfilled. I don't know if you realize this, but you have badly not fulfilled the law. Bummer for you. Except through Christ. He did it for you. When we come to Him, the whys shift to who. So why did Elimelech die? Don't know. Why did Ruth's first husband die? No answer. But who is stepping in to bring life? This we know. In the story, it's Boaz. In our lives, it's Jesus. He comes to bring life. And guys, in Him, we can enjoy what God is doing, even when we don't have all of the answers. So who? Go to that next slide. Who? Who is this? The God who blesses, the God who saves, God who instructs us. He's the God who gives. He's the God who purifies our hearts. He's the God who changes our hearts. This is what He does for us. Verse 4:14 says this in Ruth. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. Galatians 3:13, this won't be on the slides, but Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. In this story, Ruth and Naomi were living with a lot of curse in their lives, a lot of trouble, a lot of just bad stuff in their lives. But Boaz redeemed them from it all. Jesus Christ redeems us from the curse of the law. He became the curse for us, setting us free from all of its requirements and penalties. I'm going to read you two more scriptures and wrap it up with this. Titus 2:11-14 says this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. A couple things we get out of this. I'm going to relate it back to this story. In verse 11, we see this appearing of grace bringing salvation. God's grace to Ruth through both her mother-in-law, Naomi, and through Boaz, her husband-to-be. And God's grace is revealed to us now through Jesus. God's grace taught Ruth to abandon her old ungodly pagan ways, and now teaches us to embrace godly lives as well. We really see in this verse the appearing of glory of who? Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The focus of the story, like all scripture, the focus is really about Jesus and the hope we have through Him. Now, look at this. I underlined this at the bottom. Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. We're not talking just about law and rules. You're not redeemed into a system of just rules and regulations, but a relationship. But you're redeemed from lawlessness. Which means lawlessness is just doing your own thing. I'm lawless. I do what I want to do. I do what feels good. Just God's grace has actually redeemed you from a life of just kind of life of purpose, a life of He really does instruct us and train us in righteousness. He's redeemed you. If you have said to God, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. You probably said something like this. I'm turning from my own ways to your ways. It might have sounded like I'm repenting for my sins and all the things I know I've done that are wrong, and I'm looking to you. When you did that, you're saying, Jesus, I don't want lawlessness. And Jesus redeemed you from that. He set you free into a life of relationship with Him, where you're not bound to the law any longer, and you're not bound to empty lawlessness either. Does that make sense? Okay. It can maybe seem a little bit vague. I want to make sure we're clear. Final verse, we're going to wrap it up with this. Psalm 103, 2 through 5, actually wraps this story pretty nicely. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Does that mean bad things haven't happened? Does that mean there hasn't been destruction in your life from sin in the past? There hasn't been trouble? Nope. But we're going to come and we can bless God and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all our iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life. Here's that word redeem again. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is actually in chapter 4, verse 15, says this about Ruth's mother-in-law, this grandson that she has, that Ruth is the mother of. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. So Naomi in her old age finds nourishment in life. She finds refreshing in life. And it's like her youth is being restored to her. She's living again. She's full of life. Again, guys, in Christ, our Redeemer, we're full of life again. There is life for you today. There's hope for you today. That you don't have to live stuck in the past of things that have gone bad, or maybe even the present of things that have gone bad. We can get over the fact that Gonzaga lost, and the Grizz lost, and Lady Grizz lost, and the Lady Zags lost. Wentworth Pirates lost. Dang it. Bunch of losing going on. Well, guys, we can move past that as we go, God, what are you doing? I'm coming to you. I'm going to bless you, God. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, I'm going to forget not all of your benefits, how you redeemed me, how you set me free. Because whether your team wins or loses, Jesus has still set you free. Whether all your bills are paid this month or not, Jesus has still set you free. Whether you're sick or whether you're healthy, Jesus has still set you free. And there's coming a day when all of us be gathered together in heaven. There will be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more death. We will be 100% free. Why? Because of the who? Jesus, our Redeemer. Boaz gets to kind of foreshadow the coming Redeemer in this story. Boaz gets that honor. But really, it's all about Jesus. He satisfies our life with good. So our youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you bring renewal to our hearts. God, you bring restoration to our hearts. You have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Our scripture says the curse of the law is death. You've redeemed us from death and the power of death that comes through sin. Jesus, I want to walk in your life. I want to walk in your freedom, not just from freedom from the law, but freedom from lawlessness, freedom from a sinful life. God, thank you. You set us free from that as well, that we can live for you. Thank you for giving us the power through Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, to live godly lives for you and with you. Jesus, thank you so much for all you do for us. Amen.